So chapter 6 and verses 1 to 10, one more time. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now that we have a basic strategy of doing good that came from John 2 weeks ago, and that we're bearing one another's burdens but taking responsibility to carry our own pack, that came from Stan last week, what then? Well, we're faced with a series of choices in life, possibilities to consider, decisions to make. And what shall we choose? Sometimes we can choose well and do good and see an immediate positive response. So we know that we've chosen well. Sometimes we can choose badly and do wrong and see an immediate negative response. So we know that we've chosen badly. Now, sometimes we can choose and see neither a positive nor a negative result. And we don't know. We choose good, but see nothing in response. And we think that's unfair. No reward. No affirmation. No positive result. Ah, why bother? Or we choose bad, and we see nothing in response. And we think, I got away with it. Maybe God wasn't looking. And so we might do it again. Why is it that good sometimes goes unrewarded and bad sometimes goes unpunished? Is God fickle or inconsistent? That's a big question. But the remaining verses from this passage we've read today give us an answer and show us what to do. Verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You can't make a fool out of God. You can't pull a fast one on God. Now, sometimes we think we can, and we're deceived. And it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You can't pull the wool over God's eyes. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now again, the word flesh that's in that verse does not there mean body. There are places when the word flesh and the word body are kind of interchangeable, but this is not one of them. It's not saying here, the one who sows to please his body, from that body will receive destruction. It's not saying that. It's using the word flesh here in its most common New Testament sense to mean the fallen, sinful human nature. The one who sows to please his fallen, sinful human nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let's look at these two verses in a different translation. This is the New American Standard, slightly more literal. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. We're going to look at three things as we talk about these verses today. And the first is this. Understand the process. Making a choice is akin to sowing seeds. And a harvest may come, but not immediately. Perhaps you're one of those people, many people, who've done mustard and cress. You ever done mustard and cress? Maybe it was at primary school, maybe it was in early childhood where you began to learn about seeds and how things grow and germinate and so on. And so you take mustard and cress seed and you take a wet towel or perhaps a wet paper, a sheet of paper, a paper towel, anything that would absorb a little water, and sow on that thing mustard and cress seed, maybe in a little plastic box. And then just in a few days, the seeds begin to germinate and begin to grow. And it's not long at all, just over a week usually, and you have a harvest that you can harvest with the scissors and put in your sandwich. And it's a great way to learn about how things grow. The real trick is to sow the cress 3 days before the mustard, because they grow at different rates, and that way they can be harvested together. Things do grow at different rates. Mushrooms grow in a matter of hours. But some trees, for instance, an oak tree, can take many years to grow and reproduce the seed from which they grew. The grain fields that look so beautiful in the autumn time, waving golden in the breeze, harvest time, are the result of much work in sowing earlier in the year, several months before. And similarly, we can sow righteousness or sow unrighteousness and see nothing immediately. And yet, there's a time coming, and then it comes, when we harvest accordingly. It may be after minutes or hours or weeks or even years. There are four principles of sowing and reaping. Maybe you've heard them before. Four principles of sowing and reaping, here they are. Number one, principle number one, you can choose what you sow. You can choose what you sow. Good or bad, love or hate, wise or unwise, you can choose. You can sow love or grace, or peace, or friendship. Or you can sow bitterness, or strife, or gossip, or criticism. You can choose. You can sow expectation, and hope, and faith. Or you can sow disappointment, and gloom, and judgment. You can choose. You can choose what you sow. Principle number two. You can't choose what you reap, because you reap what you sow. Having sown, once you sow, you've exercised your freedom. Now you're on the track to reaping It's pre-programmed. It will happen according to what you sowed. If you're in the appropriate climate and you sow oranges, you won't need to wonder to yourself, you know, I wonder what'll come up. I hope it's apples. Because if you sow oranges, you will not see apples come up. Unless somebody else sneakily sowed apples when you weren't looking. That's not what happens. As early as Genesis chapter 1 and from there on to the present day and beyond, all these things reproduce according to their kinds. And if you sow apples, you won't get oranges. And if you sow oranges, you won't get apples. So you sow and you say, I wonder what'll come up. What will come up is what you sowed. Otherwise, you're deceived. And the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, this he will also reap. Now, we said that making choices is akin to sowing seed. I remember there was one time in Waverley Station when I got on the wrong train. I didn't know it was the wrong train, otherwise I wouldn't have got on it. But I got on the wrong train. And everything was fine, you know, it looked normal. Until I came to Inverkeithing. I was coming home. And I remember thinking, it's taken a long time to get from Inverkeithing to Rosyth. And then when the train rolled into the station, I looked through the window and it said, Aberdare! See, I'd chosen the wrong train. I'd sowed myself, if you will, on the wrong train. And the train came to the destination that was appropriate and right for that train. It wasn't right for me, and I had to fix it. Having sowed myself onto that train, I couldn't then choose my destination. It was pre-programmed by the sowing. It was going. Closest place beyond Inverkeithing, Aberdare. There wasn't any Dalgetty Bay in those days. I mean, in terms of a station, in terms of a place, yes, but not the station, for the avoidance of doubt. Anyway. The second principle is, you can't choose what you reap because you reap what you sow. Principle three, you reap more than you sow. You sow an apple seed in the right climate, in the right soil, and from that single apple seed, you can get a whole apple tree that will grow. And as the apple tree grows, it comes to the place where it's able to produce fruit. And it produces apples, many apples. And each one of those apples contains several seeds. And so in terms of multiplication, you have the number of seeds in one apple multiplied by the number of apples on the tree that year, multiplied by the number of years that that tree produces apples. And you can see how many seeds you get from one seed. Now that's a harvest. That's multiplication. One becomes many. Now this may or may not be good news. If you've sowed good seed, the crop of which you want to receive, then it's good news. But if you've sowed badly, it might actually mean that you want to pray for a crop failure. The whole concept of banking and investment is based on the principle you reap more than you sow. Now, I know sometimes that we can invest our money in something and actually lose some money, our money shrinks, but that's a crop failure. Principle four, you reap after you sow. Now, it sounds odd to say that because we think, well, that's so obvious, but somehow it's not obvious in the midst of doing it. What we tend to do is we want to hold off and hold off and hold off and not part with our seed until we see the beginnings of evidence that it's working, and then we want to sow into it quickly and get a quick result. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. First you sow. You will have no harvest if you don't sow. Sow nothing, reap nothing. And if you can't bear to part with your valuable seed, well, you'll still have it, but it won't work for you. And if you do part with your valuable seed, It doesn't mean there's an instantaneous result. It may still take time. You reap after you sow. So the key to the whole process, as we reflect upon it, is sowing. Somebody said, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a lifestyle. Sow a lifestyle, reap a destiny. Now, if that's true, it's important that we sow the right thought. And so we need wisdom. So the second thing we're saying is exercise wisdom. We have to find out what God wants and do it. We have to do what the Bible says to do. We have to sow in righteousness. Now, partly it's a choice of obedience. What does God want? And partly it's a choice of consequence. What do we want? What kind of result are we looking for? Therefore, how do we sow to get that? But in each case, it's about wisdom. The wisdom to know what God wants and then to do that in obedience. The wisdom to know what we're looking for in terms of consequence and therefore to sow the right thing to get there. Wisdom. Sowing has consequences. If we do wrong, we can be forgiven. We can be completely forgiven for our sinful choices. And yet, the consequences may still be there. The unwelcome harvest has not been cancelled, not necessarily, with our forgiveness. Back in the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14, we have God's people being led by Moses out of the bondage of the land of Egypt to Mount Sinai, where the law was given, and then heading north to a place called Kadesh Barnea, which is the southern tip of what would be the land, the promised land that they were supposed to go to. And at Kadesh Barnea, Moses sends out 12 spies who enter in and spy out the land. And all 12 bring back a good report on the land. And they say, man, this really is a good land, just like we'd heard. And even more. But 10 of them say, it's a good land, but the people are big and strong there. They're already filling the land. And the cities are fortified, and we're too weak, and we can't do it. It's the grasshopper mentality. We're too weak, and we can't do it. Let's go do something else. And the other two spies are saying, yes, the cities are fortified. Yes, the people are big and strong, but God is on our side, and he's called us to do this, and he's even bigger and stronger still. And with God, we can do it. Let's go. But the majority won. And so because they followed the majority, God's people corporately made a sinful choice. And there were some immediate consequences. But Moses interceded for them, and they were forgiven, entirely forgiven, restored to their relationship with God, and yet there were consequences. Because they then had to walk around for 40 years in the wilderness, and the children of their generation, for whose safety they'd been concerned in entering in and taking the land, they were the ones, when they grew up, who would have to go in and take the land. Consequences. The man committed a crime. He was caught, tried, sentenced, and went to prison. While he was in prison, he got talking to the prison chaplain, who introduced him to Jesus. And he was gloriously saved. And forgiven all of his sins, including the sins for which he'd been sent to prison. And yet he's still there, because he still has to serve out his time. You may be forgiven wrong choices. And in his mercy, God may give you a crop failure and cancel the consequences. But it also may be that you would still have them and have to work through them as an unwelcome harvest. Where is your investment? Will you sow to the flesh or sow to the spirit? Let me ask that question a different way. Do you want to reap corruption or life? Now, when we put it that way, it seems like a no-brainer, right? We call it the golden rule. It's part of the teaching of Jesus, for example, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 31, where Jesus said, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." Not what would sound reasonable to us, do to others as they've done to you, or do to others as they do to you, or anything of that nature, but do to others as you would have them do to you. The way you want them to treat them that way, even before they do anything to you. And then if they do bad stuff to you, don't change, but keep on treating them as you want them to treat you anyway. As a challenge. What do we want? If you want strife, sow strife. If you want division, sow division. If you want discord, sow discord. If you want to be slandered, sow slander. If you want to be criticized, sow criticism. If you want to be judged, sow judgment. But who wants these things? But if you want love and to be loved, sow love. If you want to know peace, sow peace. If you want to experience unity, sow unity. If you want to experience understanding, you want to be understood, sow understanding. If you want grace, sow grace. If you want friends, sow friendship. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Third, continue in faith. The fourth principle says, you reap after you sow. And this is where faith comes in. Faith is what enables you to part with your valuable seed and actually sow. Not thinking it's a waste, but it's an investment with expectation. Faith is what enables you to expect a harvest even when there's nothing to see. The gap between sowing and reaping is where faith comes in. So what if there's still no harvest? Well, even although you think you have, the first question to ask is, did you sow? Because it says in Proverbs 20 and verse 4, a sluggard does not plow in season, and so at harvest time he looks and finds nothing. The second question is, did you sow in the right place? What do you mean, sow in the right place? Isn't any place good to sow? No, some places are better than others. For example, if you took your valuable seed and sowed it in the river, it's probably going to wash all that seed away and nothing much will come of it. You say, well, I'm not that stupid. I took my handful of seed outside this building and sowed it in the car park. Well, it might take a little longer for it to disappear. But it's probably not going to germinate through all that atomic atom. And then the birds of the air are going to come and have a feed. You think, well, I did sow in the right place, but nothing's come up. Well, it may not be time yet. Don't panic. Stay in faith. Here's verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Sometimes we can give up, though. You know, we sow in the flower pot or the seed tray or the greenhouse or wherever it is, and we sow all the seed and we get impatient and we think, look at that, there's nothing happening. I sowed all that seed, nothing's coming up. It's been days, nothing's happening. And we finally get so frustrated that we dig it up to have a look. And we think, look at that. It was germinating. Roots are growing. It was working. Of course, it won't work now because I dug it up. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up or dig up. Continue in faith. There's a change of perspective that I think it's helpful for us to bring. Are you experiencing some good things now? Now, I know there may be some other things now mixed in which help to distract you from the good things. But you are experiencing some good, if you look, you could find them, some good things right now. I want to suggest that these were sown earlier. And if that's true, so now for the future. You may be feeding now on a harvest from previously sown seed. But if nothing is being sown now, you may have a famine ahead. Reading the Bible and praying is pretty basic. But it's also a good investment in sowing to the Spirit. And it's possible that you've done a lot of that in the past, and that you're reaping the benefit of that now. But sow now for future reaping. One aspect of the harvest is the harvest of people. And it's a good reality check from time to time for us to ask the question, reflect on it individually, and even more especially as a church together. Are we seeing a harvest of people? People coming to faith, people coming to know the Lord. And we'd say, well, yes, we are in a measure. We always want to see more, and of course it's appropriate that we always would want to see more. But we may think, yes, we are in a measure. But as that's true, keep sowing. Keep sharing the good news. Keep sowing and sharing the gospel. In the midst of reaping, don't forget to sow. So we're saying continue in faith, yes, but one other thing, continue in faith. Brings us back to verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. One of my fears, I guess you could say, one of my concerns for me and for us is that we'd be in the process of faithfulness and believing for the harvest and believing for the harvest, and then we get discouraged. And we give up. And if we could see, we're only one bend away from the harvest that we've been going for. We just didn't have the courage to go all the way. Do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So wrapping this whole thing up now. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The strategy that we have in place is verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers or the household of faith. And in the midst of that strategy, in all the choices of life that come our way, three things. Understand the process of sowing and reaping. Exercise wisdom, wisdom in sowing. Continue in faith. Once again, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.